I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on another Lord's Day morning. The perils of dabbling in the occult. There's a difference between occult and the occult. When we speak of occult, it is based upon a devotion and a homage to a person. Within the Christian circle, a cult would be defined from the Christian standpoint as a group that adhere to doctrines which are pointedly contradictory to Orthodox Christianity. Examples of cults in the Christian circle would be the Mormons or the Church of the Latter-day Saints. They have a building somewhere near Newton Circus. They are quite well off. They have in America a state called Utah that is practically owned by them. Every which way you go in Utah, I was told, you find Mormons or Church of the Latter-day Saints. They follow their founder, a man by the name of Joseph Smith. It was founded sometime in the early 1800s. That is a cult. But the occult is quite different. The occult means, in Latin, hidden. H-I-D-D-E-N. It refers to knowledge or secret knowledge. And so the people who dabble with the occult would want to use all kinds of means, spiritual means in particular, to find out all these hidden knowledge or hidden secrets. And some of the means that they would employ would include paranormal or supernatural magic, witchcraft, sorcery. For the woman, witches. For the men, wizards. So wizardry, astrology, alchemy, mysticism, voodoo, black magic, divination, fortune-telling, necromancy. Necromancy comes from necros, means dead. Necromancy means consulting the dead. They will use seance, meditation. It would also include horoscope, black magic. These are some of the means that the occultists would dabble in order to find out the hidden secret or knowledge that they think that will help them in this life. This would be occultism. So what is wrong with occultism? Are there any perils if we were to dabble in the occult? As Christians, what should we do when we are confronted with the occult? In this age and world of ours, the occultic has taken on a very, very advanced proclamation. It is no more hidden in some dark room in a corner of an inconsequential part of a city. It is now very well accepted, and it is very, very broadly broadcasted into our living rooms, through the television, through the movie theaters, through the literature, through our computers. The occult is on the increase, and it has taken on a very noble, acceptable front. Books like Harry Potter, it has grossed millions and millions of dollars through the movies as well as the sale of these books. In Harry Potter's book, he went to school, and the name of the school he went to teach him how to be an effective wizard with supernatural power and practice supernatural magic. Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Is that true? Is it called Hogwarts? Warts are those little things that stick on your face. Hog is a term for pigs. But the name of the school is called Hogwarts. Any of you have read the book by Harry Potter? Lord of the Rings. TV programs such as Angels, Charmed, and in the past, X-Files, that talks about the paranormal. In the movies, Star Wars, And many of these that have turned authors into multi-millionaires overnight have caused many bookrooms like Borders to devote rows and rows of their shelves promoting such material. And in some cases, they even teach you how to practice some of these activities, like how to cast spells, how to chant, how to put a charm or a spell on others. There's a lot of merchandise that will reap in also millions of dollars. Talismans that you could wear around your neck that will protect you from the dark forces. Things that you can hang on your dashboard or on your rearview mirror of your car that may protect you when you're driving. Wear them on your wrist. Hang them around your neck. Talismans. And these are all part and parcel of the occultic. And the scary part is that some of us, whether innocently or naively, as parents, we have bought such books and we have brought our children to the movies to watch this kind of movies in the name of entertainment. It's okay. We have to expose them to all these things. They have to know all these things in order to educate them so that they may know how to deal with them. They must know it, experience it, because without experiencing, how are they going to learn? How are they going to know? How are they going to talk to their friends? You don't have to taste wickedness and evil in order to warn and teach others that evil is wrong. Wickedness is wrong. Because by this line of argument and logic, then in order for me to reach out to prostitutes, does that mean that I have to be a prostitute? By this line of argument, if I want to reach out to the homosexuals, to the alcoholic, to those who abuse drugs, so I have to be all these things in order to reach out to them? Use the Word of God. With the Word of God, you would have more than sufficient, and the power of the Word of God with the enabling of the Holy Spirit to help anyone under any circumstance to deal with any problem, any addiction. You definitely do not have to be a homosexual to help homosexuals. There is one chapter in the Bible that will teach us about the perils and the danger of dabbling with the occult, that will help us understand how Christians must deal with the occult. And that chapter that will help us understand this very well, very clearly, because it was very common in the Bible in the Old Testament times. In the New Testament, it is dressed up in beautiful colored garb called myths and legends, such as Hercules. All these are myths and legends. Change the dressing, but underneath it, it is still the same. It is dark, it is evil, it is filthy, it is demonic, diabolical, satanic. And parents, don't allow your children and don't encourage your children to go to such movies and never buy them those material. And don't buy them those computer games like Dungeons and Dragons and all those ugly, hideous-looking creatures that you allow your children to play on the computer screen. Or if you do not allow your children to play, and our children will hide behind the darkness of the wee hours of the morning with the parents asleep, you turn on your computer and you dabble with all these things. And in the name of entertainment and fun and game, you continue to play them. Before you know it, you're already addicted and you have become a slave to them. You can't break away from it, can you? Every night, you have an appointment when your parents are asleep. You turn on the computer game. You become a slave. That is now your quiet time. You don't call it a quiet time. It is your occult time. You must keep it, isn't it? Make sure you keep it. And you keep it more regularly than you keep time with God. And you have been ensnared, captured like a bird by the prey, by the predator. You are just a prey. Parents, watch out. It is no fun. It is not a game. The souls of our children is the price. The chapter in the Bible is Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel. Leviticus 20, the first five books of the Bible, please remember this acronym. God's everlasting love never dies. G, Genesis. E, Exodus. L, Leviticus, never, and Numbers, dies for Deuteronomy. God's everlasting love never dies. Okay? First five books. So, L, Leviticus, the third book. Verse 2, Leviticus 20. Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that means to everyone who lived in the land of promise, whether you belong to the nation of Israel, or whether you are a Gentile living in the nation of Israel, because there were many Gentiles who took the opportunity together with the Israelites when they came out of Egypt during the Exodus. They tag along. And so this mixed group accompanied Israel throughout the 40 years of wilderness wandering. And they will also enter the promised land together with Israel. And so this particular chapter, this command, must include these Gentiles as well, because of the serious nature of what God is about to say to them. Or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Now Molech was the god of the Ammonites. Molech somehow is a god that when you worship Molech, the inclination is that you would offer your sons and your daughters to Molech. Molech is said to be made of brass. It is hollow. A fire will be lit underneath this hollow statue of Molech. And then your son and your daughter will be put on top of the statue as the fire is lit. That's how you worship Molech. It is hideous. It is grotesque. And then you will hear your own sons and your daughters cooked alive. Barbecue, literally. And they will scream and they will yell. Either that or you put them to sleep and let them be charred, burned to death. But that's what the worship of Molech was like. And so God said, let no one give their seed, that is your children, to Molech. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he had given his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Israel, you bear the name of God. Israel means prince of God. This was the basis and the reason. You have to reflect the nature and the character of Elohim, of God. And when you offer your sacrifice and your sons and your daughters to Molech, God says you will have to die. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man, and so if the people who notice this man doing such a thing, and they do nothing about it, and they condone it. When he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will, God said, I will set my face against that man, and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him, to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. God will deal with such people very, very violently, because it is a very hideous and a terrible sin. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. The people who run, who manage, who look after the worship of Molech, they are called the practitioner of familiar spirits, wizards. practitioner of familiar spirits will be what we have read earlier. Sorcerers, necromancers, those who dabble in the occult. Wizards, men who will have black magic, who will exercise supernatural powers given to them by Satan, by demons. They will probably be demon-possessed. And all these things are so prevalent and so common today. And when our children look at them and read such books, we allow such books to remain in our homes. If you have them in your homes, any of such paraphernalia, go home and destroy them. All the books, dump it. Throw them into the trash can because that's where all these books belong. Don't allow such things to tarnish the heart and the minds and the souls of your children. Because God has made that very clear to us. You say you want to keep God's word, you want to obey God's word, and you dabble with these things? Is that not mocking God? On the one hand, we say we want to obey God's word. We want to be holy because our God is holy. We want to pray, we want to read God's word, we want to sanctify our hearts and our minds from the pollution of this world by the reading of God's word to clean house. And then at the same time, with one hand we clean house and with the other hand we bring in dirt into our house. And God is mocked by this kind of hypocrisy, by this kind of double dealing. You want to be holy and yet at the same time you wrestle with the pigs in the mud. And God says, such things I cannot accept. Sanctify yourselves, verse 7, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. For everyone that curses his father or his mother, from verse 9 onwards all the way, right up to verse 21, you see the fruits of someone who will dabble in the occult. Because like the worship of idols, because some religions that will encourage their followers, their disciples, to dabble in the dark forces, black magic, they will also be considered as occultic. They wear talismans. They go into a trance. They walk on fire without getting burned. They do all kinds of terrible, frightful things. They may be called religions, but as far as the Bible is concerned, this will belong to the occultic. And the result is a changed life. What kind of life will they adopt and practice? And how will it impact and affect them in their home, in their thinking? From verse 9 to verse 21, you will read of the kind of perils and dangers to those who will dabble in the occult. Verse 9. Curse his father, his mother. You find your children becoming more and more rebellious. When they were very young, they were very well behaved. When they go to Sunday school regularly, when you teach them the word of God, when they were very young, in kindergarten and primary school, and as they grow older, now they're becoming fierce and very rebellious. They curse you. They talk bad about you behind your backs. And some of them even have the audacity to scold you in your face, to your face. They tell you what they think of you. They are rude. The fruits of dabbling with the paranormal, the occult. And that's just the beginning, dear friends. Verse 10. The man that committed adultery in another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, adulterous relationship, the occultic would always be immoral. They will have temple prostitutes, both men and women. They are called sodomites. And their task and their duty is to excite the followers, make them excited when they come for worship. Immoral. Is it not all around us today? Sadly, in Singapore, they now have this place called, I believe it's called Crazy Horse. True? I was told that it's very expensive to go to Crazy Horse. Receive on the mail from one particular credit card. Discount to go to Crazy Horse with this credit card. For crazy people, yeah, go. Crazy Horse. True? How many of you have gone there in the name of business, entertainment, call yourself a Christian, shame on you. You repent and you stay away. Even if you mean, if it means getting fired, don't go to such places. Even if a CEO, big boss, asks you to go, you have a bigger boss, and that is God Himself. And He says you must never be found in such hideous, immoral, sodomic places. Get out. Get out. Verse 11, the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered the father's nakedness, sleeping with your own stepmother. Verse 11, and please do not think that it will not happen in the church. It happened in the church in Corinth. Verse 12, if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, sleeping with your own daughter, your son's wife. Verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lie with woman, homosexuality. Verse 13, these are all the fruits of the occultic. And one day your son calls you up, Mom, Dad, I want to be a woman. And you get the shock of your life. Remember, it's the fruit of your labor. You allow them to dabble in this kind of occult, they fill their heads and their minds with all kinds of dark, spiritual, demonic things. And then these are the outcome and the fruits of their lives. And you say, I'm so shocked. The Bible made it very clear, warning us, be careful. It is not entertainment. It is not fun and games. It is evil. It is wicked. It controls the mind and it controls your life. And this is the result. This kind of immorality that is so grotesque, that to read and study all these things from the pulpit is so shameful. It's so disgusting. And yet, the world accepts this so readily and so freely. Both of them have committed an abomination in the sight of God. Verse 14, if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. His own mother. If a man lie with a beast, bestiality. Verse 16, if a woman approach unto any beast and lieth down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman. Now all these sins require the death penalty. Verse 17, if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor thy father's sister, your aunties. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, verse 21, if a man shall take his brother's wife, your sister-in-law, this list is all kinds of sexual sin, is it not? These are the sexual sins that we see all over the world today. Because the occultic is on the increase. God willing, next Lord's Day, we're going to deal with one particular narrow aspect of the occultic called the New Age movement. Is it not all over the world, as practiced by so many of these famous movie stars, movie actors and actresses? And they have given it respectability and acceptance. They have their own music. They have their own aromatherapy. They have their own way of taking this kind of food and that kind of food that will give you all kinds of health. What is their philosophy? What's their agenda? God willing, we shall touch on that next Lord's Day. These are the fruits, the perils that will occur in the lives of anyone who would dabble with the occult. How do you know that this will be the result? You look at verse 22. Ye shall keep all that my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhor them. It begins with a warning concerning the worship of Molech, which was one of the key gods in the land of promise, in the land of Canaan. And sandwiched in between will be all these sexual sin, all the fruits of one who will worship Molech. And at the end of it, verse 23, there's another warning again. And now God says, now you know why you cannot worship Molech. You cannot follow and be like the priests of Molech, the familiar spirits, practitioners, and the wizards, and the witches, and the sorcerers, those who practice consulting the dead. Stay away from them. Witchcraft, it is not fun. It is demonic. Very demonic. Did Israel listen? Did God's people listen? Turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verse 34. This is a description of what Israel did in summary form. They did not destroy the nations because God in Deuteronomy 12 told them, you must destroy the nations and destroy all their objects of worship. Deuteronomy 12:1-8. God gave them this command. Destroy the people who will worship Molech and destroy the objects of their worship, their places of worship. Instead, that's what they did. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. What did they do? They thought they were smarter than God. Verse 35. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. They took them as their slaves. They wanted to feel what's it like to be masters. And so they took the Philistines, the people of the land, and made them their slaves. And when they became their slaves, instead, Israel became their slaves. They learned their ways. They allowed their sons and their daughters to exchange marriage. And then they also exchange worship. Mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And what happened? Verse 36. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, what did they do? Verse 37. Now we're talking about Israel, now God's people. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Israel, like God's people, who have the Ten Commandments, who have the Word of God, who have the place called the tabernacle and later on the temple, the only place on planet Earth where God says, I will live in the midst of my people. That when God's people were away from Him, if they face Jerusalem and they pray, God will hear their prayer. And in the heart of God's people, you have such sins. Therefore, as session members, if we are told that in our church we have members who also dabble with the occult, sure, they will not call dabble with the occult. We just buy these books for entertainment. You go to their homes and you see these books in the bookshelf, on their bookshelves. Are we shocked? Are we surprised? No. Because Israel did it. Because we know, like Israel, is made up of both believers and unbelievers. And in every local church, it's also made up of believers and unbelievers. Are you saying that if I have all these books, you're calling me an unbeliever? No. We are not saying that. What we are saying is that if you are a child of God, you know from Scripture that these belong to the satanic realm. Ask yourself this question, why would you want to dabble with such things? Why do you want to have such things in your home? You say that this is a house that God gave to me. God is the head of this house. And you switch on the computer and you allow these things to filter into, come into your home. And once it gets into your heart, into your mind, into your head, everywhere you go, it occupies into your head, into your minds. And then your conduct and your life and your attitude towards your children, toward people, toward ladies, toward girls, toward girls in the church will change. You become like what Leviticus 20 warns us of. There are no boundaries in your immorality. No boundaries at all. You become like a crazy sex animal. That's what Leviticus 20 describes us. That's the peril, the fruit of the occultic. And this is God's people. Your own sons and your own daughters, they sacrifice to idols, to devils, and shed innocent blood. You kill them. Whose blood? even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. And so they create new things. They become worse than the Canaanites that they conquered. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. He abhorred them, he hated them. They stank before God because of what they did to themselves and to their sons and to their daughters. How do we know that they did worse than the Canaanites? Because God says so. In 2 Kings chapter 17, God said so. 2 Kings chapter 17, the judgment and the condemnation against Israel, the northern kingdom, before God sent the Assyrians to destroy them. Because that's what Psalm 106 says. The heathens will come and wipe you out, like God will wipe a dish clean and turn it upside down. Thorough. 2 Kings 17, verse 5. Then the king of Assyria came up through all the land and went up to Samaria, the capital city of Israel, the northern kingdom, and besieged it 3 years, and they were destroyed. Why did God destroy them? Verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, high places for worship, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah, the southern kingdom, by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, did they listen? They would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the necks of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected the statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity. They became vain, went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. And what did they do? And they make them molten images, even 2 calves, and made a grove, and worship all the host of heaven, and serve Baal. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, use divination, enchantments, and so themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And many years later, 2 Kings 21, did Judah learn? Judah also did not learn. Judah also did not learn. They saw the destruction of the northern kingdom wiped clean, no more ceased to exist. And Judah, they too would be destroyed. Israel was destroyed in 722 BC. Jerusalem, 586 BC, also destroyed. During the reign of Manasseh, the longest reigning king. What did he do? 2 Kings 21, verse 3. He built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the 2 courts of the house of the Lord. Horoscope. Don't read horoscope in the newspaper. This is it. The host of heaven, the stars, the moon, the signs of the heavens. And he made his son pass through the fire. Verse 6. Observe time, superstition, used enchantments, dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Never will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. The sins of God's people were compounded compared to the sins of the Canaanites, the people that they conquered. In other words, there is a sin when the people of the world who are dead in sin double with the occult. But when we who call ourselves Christians, when we who are professing Christians who claim to bear the name of Christ, who when we fill up our particulars, religion, Christians, and when we dabble in the occult, will God's judgment be upon us as it was upon Israel and Judah? We sin more. We sin more. Why must we stop dabbling with the occult? We stop dabbling with the occult not only because it is wrong, not because it is only because it is satanic and evil, but more so because of who we are and who our God is. Concluding verses of Leviticus 20 is the appeal. Please realize the perils and the dangers of the occult and stay far, far away from it. Please go back home. Check. If there be anything, destroy them. All of them. Don't leave even a residue like what God said to Israel. When you enter the promised land, you destroy everything. Burn them. Regardless of how much it costs, how expensive it is never, never more expensive than the souls of your children and your own soul. Destroy them. Verse 24 of Leviticus 20. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Why? Because I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse 24. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. Is that not true? That's the meaning of the word church. Called out once. Called out from where? From the world. From darkness into God's marvelous light. Why do we want to go back to darkness? I am the Lord your God, God says, which I have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. In other words, your entire life must bear that special distinctive feature of cleanliness. As far as the spirit realm is concerned, as far as the flesh realm is concerned, our lives must reflect the nature and the character of God, who is holy. And ye shall be holy unto me. Verse 26. For I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. The perils and the dangers of the occult. Please, understand it. This is the appeal that God is now crying out to all of you, all of us who name the name of Christ. You call yourself a Christian? Stay away from movies, from books, from television programs, from the internet, from magazines, from all these that pertain to the occultic. Please, for Jesus' sake, would you? A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, for Thou hast saved us and raised up a generation in the 21st century of thy called out ones, thy children, who name the name of Christ, to live in a world that thou hast demonstrated and revealed from Holy Scriptures, a world that will be like Sodom and Gomorrah in the last days. And thou hast allowed us to live in this world, not by chance, but by thy sovereign appointment. And therefore we know, O Lord, that thou art able to keep us, that we may truly shine forth as light in this dark and wicked world. And we pray, O Lord, that thou will grant to us the strength and courage of character, that we may do that which is right and well-pleasing in thy sight, to sanctify our homes and our hearts and our minds and our thoughts from all that which is occultic, that belong to the dark and spiritual realm. And thou wilt be ever gracious and merciful to protect us and help us, O Lord, to sanctify ourselves, to do that which is right and well-pleasing in thy sight. We pray, O Lord, for our sons and our daughters, that thou wilt give them the strength of character, that they will not become like the world, that they will not dabble in the occultic, that they will stay far away from such evil because of who thou art and what thou hast made them to become, holy, righteous, and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, be merciful to protect and to watch over us and our loved ones and thy church and thy people for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.